All right, in your Bible, the book of Acts, chapter 9, and I'd like for us to read together the first 5 verses for today's message. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now if you have an open Bible and a pencil, please underscore the latter part of verse 5, for the Lord told Paul it was hard for him to kick against the pricks. And using that for my text, I like to continue the message I started on yesterday about kicking against the will of God. Now on that last broadcast, we noticed Paul's person deplored as the Lord Jesus compared him with an ox kicking against the goad. In the East, the farmer would have a sharp instrument like a knife on a long stick like a broom handle, and if the oxen turned to the right or to the left, he'd stick the oxen or goad the oxen and get it back in line. And as Paul traveled down the ancient road from Jerusalem to Damascus, the light is shining round about him brighter than the noonday sun. And the Lord is saying to him, Saul, you're like an ox, and all of these things that are occurring in your life and about your life are the goads I'm using trying to bring you in line. And Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I used that line of thought on yesterday. Paul's person deplore as the Lord compared him with an ox. Now today, I want to talk about Paul's problem discerned as he kicked against the goads of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again, the farmer would really rub that oxen and stick that oxen if he got out of line. And the Lord is working with Paul and dealing with Paul and trying to bring Paul in line. And Paul is kicking like a dumb ox, neighbor, and not realizing that it's the Lord Jesus Christ after him. Now notice how he kicked. Number one, he was kicking against the preaching. You remember that they had stoned Stephen to death. And by the way, Saul had held the coat of those who stoned Stephen. In other words, neighbor, he was directing that crude event. He was having Stephen put to death. But before Stephen died, he preached a scorching sermon, and he called them stiff necks and uncircumcised in heart. And Stephen said, You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did in the wilderness. And the preaching of the man of God had lodged in the heart and in the mind of the Apostle Paul. And like a goad, it was sticking him, rubbing him, and bothering him as he went down that ancient road to Damascus. And you know, neighbor, this gives a lot of light on the rebellion in some of our best homes. Some of the godliest people I've ever met have had the most trouble out of their children. See, if kids are not saved and they still have that old Adamic nature, and you hold the Word of God over them and put the Word of God on them and try to bring them in line with the Word of God, if they're not saved, neighbor, they'll kick. I don't care how much you prayed with them, and I don't care how much you took them to Sunday school, and I don't care how many Bible schools they've been to. The natural mind is not subject to the law of God. And when you hold the law over unregenerate boys and girls, they'll be kicking against it like Paul did in the long ago. And this gives light on some of the rebellion in good homes. And it also gives light on churches. Some of the men who preaches the straightest and the firmest, some of the men who preaches the hardest, has more trouble. And I'm telling you the truth. A man that'll scratch backs and tickle ears and let a naked crowd go on to hell, neighbor, he don't ever have much trouble. But you take a man of God that's got some holy convictions in his bosom, and he starts goading men with this Word of God and saying this is right and that's not right, then if people are not saved, they're going to raise up, and you better believe it, they're going to rebel against the Word of God. And Saul had heard the disciple Stephen preach, and neighbor, that preaching had got in his craw, and he was kicking against it with all of his might. And as we draw the application, we can see this in homes, and we can see this in churches, as men, women, boys, and girls raise up against the Word of God. But he was not only kicking against preaching. He had heard Stephen's pray. You remember, as the stones beat out his life, and as the stones fell around him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, neighbor, all through this Bible, Jesus is depicted as sitting on the right hand of God. He's always sitting on the right hand of God. But Stephen said, as he died, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And you know what happened? I believe that Jesus had got up to welcome home one of his children. On earth he was despised, and the stones were beating out his life. But in heaven the Lord Jesus got up, and he must have said, as Stephen's made that triumphant entry, welcome home, son, welcome home. And I'm saying to every daddy and mother, get under the sound preaching of the Word of God. It might cut, and it might kick against your old natural man and your Adamic nature, but you need the preaching. And I'm saying to every daddy and mother, don't ever give up on that praying. Don't ever give up on that praying. These people on my heart I've been praying for years, but I don't ever intend to give up. We've got to hold on. God said that He was a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and I believe that with all of my heart. I remember at the camp meeting last year, I believe it was, a man gave his testimony, and he said, when I was born, I weighed 3 pounds and a half, and my mother put me in a shoebox and took me to the church and dedicated me to the Lord and asked the Lord to let me live and let me grow up and serve Him. And he said, when I got big enough to toddle around, I idolized my father. And then he turned out bad and broke my heart. And I didn't care if I lived or died. And he said, one day when I was about 9 years old, I got what clothes I had, put them in a little bag, tied them on a stick, and went down that dusty road in South Georgia. And I never intended to come back. And he said, I traveled in every state in the Union but two. And I didn't hear from home for 30 years. I didn't know if my mother or any of my relatives were alive. I'd been gone for 30 years and had no intention of ever going back. And he said, one morning, I was in Houston, Texas, a little before daylight, and it was sprinkling rain. And he said, I went down in a back alley, perhaps hunting food, I believe he said, in the garbage can. And said, then I sat down on that garbage can to wait for it to get light. And sitting on that garbage can, I heard my mother praying. I hadn't thought of my mother in a long time. And I hadn't thought about home in a long time. Sitting on that garbage can right before daylight, I heard my mother praying. And said, conviction got so heavy on me, I slipped off that garbage can and down on my knees in that back alley. And I called out to God for mercy. He said, I got saved. And it was about daylight now, and I saw a little store open on the corner. And I went up to the man, and I said, will you let me work enough to call home? I need to make a long-distance call home. And he saw I'd been crying. He knew there was something wrong, and he allowed me to call. And I got the number from the operator. And I called, not knowing if my mother was dead or alive, and said the phone started ringing. And then I heard a little tiny voice on the other end of the line say, hello. And I said, hello, Mama. And she said, John. And he said, Mom, how did you know that it was me? I've been gone 30 years. And she said, John, I'm your mother, and I knew it was you. And he said, Mom, I've got something to tell you. And she said, son, don't tell me. Let me tell you. And he said, all right, Mom. And she said, John, you've been saved. You've been saved. And he said, yes, ma'am, I was just saved in a back alley in Houston, Texas. And I called to tell you that I was on my way home. And now that man's a great evangelist neighbor, and he's spreading the word of God across this great state of Georgia and other states. And God goads men with preaching, and God goads men with praying, and God goads men with providence. Paul was one of the elect.
God had separated him from his mother's womb. And God, let's get him, neighbor. God was going to bring him in. And all of that disease, and neighbor, all of that distress that you've been going through, that may be God after you, trying to bring you in and to get you to quit kicking against the prick. And I beg you today to give up. Don't go on, neighbor. It's hard to kick against the will of God. Fall on your knees and ask God to be merciful to you, and he'll save you. Father, bless the word to some hungry, precious heart out in the vast radio audience today. I pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The time's gone. Pray for me. And tune in again the next time is my prayer in his name. Amen.